I know a couple of you saw me speak a few weeks ago at the filling station in Whitney. But for those of you who haven't seen me before, you will have noticed that I'm physically disabled. And having a disability can sometimes get me into some funny situations. And when I was 17, I went to sixth form at a school near Bristol. And the school, although it was a mainstream school, they had a number of disabled people at the school. And so they had some staff there, especially to help out these disabled people. And one of the members of staff came up to me one day saying, "We've received something through the post which you might be interested in. It's regional trials for disabled athletics, basically for the southwest of England." And she said to me, "Would you like to have a go?" And I thought to myself, I've never raced disabled people before, this could be quite good fun. So she said the event is taking place in the Oval, which from my house was about an hour and a half's drive at the time. And she said it's taking place in just over 3 weeks' time. So if you want to enter, you need to get your entry in pretty quickly. And so I took the forms home, and I thought to myself, I'm not very quick, but I can keep going. And so I entered the 1500 metres. I then thought, if I can go all the way down to Yeovil, what's the point of doing one race? I might as well enter a second race too. So I entered the 400 metres as well. Now you have to bear in mind, at that time, that I'd never actually run 1500 metres before. I walked the distance, but I'd never run it, but I thought, oh, it'll be fine, I can train for it. And so I trained for it over those 3 weeks, and I gradually built up to the distance. And I ran the 1500 metres twice in practice. And then it was the day of the event, and I arrived in Yeovil, and my name was called for the starting line for the 1500 metres. And I thought it was going to be like the Paralympics, where they put you into categories according to your disability. No. There were three of us. There was me, there was someone who had, I think it was cerebral palsy, and you know, the man who was partially sighted. He could run just like anyone else, just couldn't see so well where he was going. And I thought, this is going to go horribly wrong. Well, anyway, the race got underway, and I was soon well behind the other two, and it suddenly occurred to me, the partially sighted man, he's going to lap me. Is he going to see me? Unfortunately, he ran around me. And then the cerebral palsy man lapped me, and then the partially sighted man lapped me again. And I ended up having to run the whole last lap all on my own. And then I was coming on to the final bend with 200 metres to go, and I heard an announcement over the sound system, "Compart G, please come to the starting line for the 400 metres. And I was thinking, I'm on my way. And do you know what was wrong with him within the 400 metres? He was deaf. My only chance was that he couldn't hear the gun. And like, how is this fair? I just ran the best part of a mile with my disability. And that was his first race. So I lost both races, but never mind. I never took part in that bit again. So onto my story. I'm going to be sharing my testimony with you this morning. And when I was 5 years old, I went to a car auction with my family, and Dad and my brother got out of the car, and I was sitting in the car with Mum, and I said to Mum, "I want to become a Christian. How do I become a Christian?" Because I had absolutely no doubt, even with my limited understanding at that age, I had no doubt about God's existence. And so Mum first of all explained to me the scripture from John 3:16. Which says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And so Mum told me that I needed to pray and ask Jesus into my heart. And that's when I made my own personal decision to become a Christian. I prayed and invited Jesus into my heart and to be central in my life. Now, I was born severely disabled with a rare condition called arthrogryposis. And arthrogryposis means that I have weak muscles and stiff joints, and it affects people in different ways. So, for example, one person might be affected in their legs. Other people, it might just affect maybe their arms or maybe just their hand. Other people, like me, it affects their whole body. And each person is uniquely affected as to how severe it can be for them. And when I was born, the doctors told my parents that I would never walk, and that I may never have the strength to be being set up independently. And I was just basically given a break from the account loop. I was given no hope to be able to do anything for myself. But I was brought up in a Christian family, and the church that I went to, the pastor, he prophesied to my parents when I was a baby, saying that little by little, I would be able to do more and more new things that will amaze people. And he prayed for two things specifically. The first thing that he prayed was that one day I would be physically able to walk down the aisle of the church. And this was going against what the doctors were saying. Obviously, the doctor said that I would never walk. Well, I was actually able to sit up myself at quite a young age, and to get around, I literally sort of shuffled across the floor to wherever I wanted to go. But I remember I used to go to physiotherapy sessions very regularly at the Bristol Children's Hospital. And there's this one session in particular that I remember clearly to this day, and this was when I was 3 years old. And the physiotherapist, she propped me up against the wall. Just imagine now I'm leaning against the wall. And she let go of me, and she said, "I want to see if you can start walking." And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I couldn't move away from the wall. And I felt quite frustrated at the time, because there were other children my age up on their feet and running around, and I thought, well, why can't I do that? I didn't really understand what my disability meant to me. I didn't realise that I actually looked quite different from everyone else. I just thought having a disability at that age meant that I was slower than everyone else. But sometime after that, I was around 3.5 years old, and there was one night when Mum was carrying me up the stairs to go to bed. And as we were going up the stairs, I just had this thought in my head that I was going to be able to start walking. And so I said to Mum, "I think I'm going to start walking now." And so in the same way as the physiotherapist propped me up against the wall, Mum put me up against the wall. And she let go of me. And I took 1, 2, 3 steps. And then I fell down. And we tried it again. And I took 1, 2, 3 steps, and then I fell down. Now, someone who is physically disabled is often referred to as having physical difficulties. And you might take the word difficult and think of other words which have a similar meaning. And you might take the word hard, or maybe the word challenging. And is there a word that sums up these three words, difficult, hard, and challenging? And for me, that word is possible. Difficult means possible, hard means possible, challenging means possible. So for me, it was quite significant that I was able to start by taking 3 steps. Because if you imagine my first step, I was leaning on the wall, but then I was able to take 2 more steps, unaided, one on each foot, before falling down, which meant that both legs were strong enough to take me, which meant for me that walking was going to be a real challenge for me, it was going to be difficult, but I knew it would be possible. And so from then onwards, it was a matter of trying to do a little bit more each day. And I remember the day after I took my first steps, I'd be downstairs at home, and my parents would prop me up against the wall, and I'd try to make it from one side of the room to the other, and I'd get part way across, and I'd fall down, then they'd pick me up, and I'd get a bit further, and I'd fall down, and they'd pick me up, and I eventually made it to the other side of the room. And then I was gradually able to do more and more, until I was able to walk in my own way without thinking about what I was doing, which for me was great. It meant such freedom. I didn't have to rely on anyone else to actually sort of help me move around. So then as I grew up, I went to school, and I would go out with my friends at break time to the playground, and I didn't want to watch them play sport. I wanted to really sort of join in whatever I could. And so you have to bear in mind that because my disability is quite rare, I didn't know anyone with the same condition as me growing up. So if I was to play sports with my friends, I'd really have to try and adapt and find my own way. And not when I was worse or slower than everyone else, but the most important thing is that I could actually join in. And so some sports I've been able to take part in are things like running, football, table tennis, and swimming. And I've played many other sports as well, but definitely my favourite sports that I've been able to take part in. And when I was 8 years old, I started having swimming lessons at school. And in my first swimming lesson, my swimming teacher, he put a life jacket on me, and he came in the shallow end of the pool, and he said to me, "I want to see if you can start swimming." Now, my disability affects my whole body, so I've got very limited use of my arms and legs. So just to demonstrate, I can't lift my arms any higher than that to actually keep them there. I can swing them, but there's no muscle strength in my arms to actually keep them in the air. But the very fact that I had that bit of movement in my arms, it meant I could swim slowly in the water. And so at the end of that first lesson, my swimming teacher took my life jacket off, and he said to me, "I wanted to go and swim down to the deep end," which for me was a bit outside of my comfort zone, but I made it in the end. And then sometime after that, he wanted to teach me to dive into the pool at the deep end. And obviously most people dive in using their hands first, but I can't keep my hands in the air. So he showed me a way that he thought would work for me, where I'd have to stand up by the side of the pool. I'd have to fall forwards into the water. And as I was underwater, I'd have to turn and come up out of the water on my back. And I was really quite scared about this. I thought, what if I can't turn when I'm underwater? What if I get stuck upside down? And I'd be still at the side of the pool for 10, 15, 20 minutes, something like that, trying to have the courage to dive in. And one time, my teacher was so fed up with waiting for me, he just came along and pushed me in. But it actually wasn't that bad after all, and I'm so glad that he made me do this, because it has opened up so many opportunities for me, and so I managed to progress with my swimming. And I don't want any of this to sound like "look what I can do," but it's just to show you the miracle that God has performed in my life. So as I say this, just bear in mind what the pastor prayed, that one day I'd be physically able to walk down the aisle of the church. So I was able to progress in my swimming. When I was age sort of 13 or 14 years old, I managed to get my 800-metre swimming badge. And then I would regularly swim a mile each week, just when I was probably around 22 or 23 years old, something like that. And I'd swim a mile just for fitness each week. And I'm always looking for new challenges, really, to take part in, really to sort of push the boundaries of my disability. Let's see what I'm physically able to do. And so a few years ago, I heard about the Sport Relief Swimathon, and they had three different distances on offer. They had a 5 kilometre, a 2.5 kilometre swim, and a 1500 metres swim. And I thought, well, I can already swim a mile, 1600 metres. So I thought, well, there's no point going for the 1500. Let's go the next step up. Let's enter the 2.5 kilometre swim. And I managed to train for it, and I managed over quite a period of time, and then I managed to complete it. And so in 2017, I wanted to go the next step further, just to see if I could complete the 5 kilometre swim. And if you take your average leisure centre swimming pool of 25 metres long, it was 200 lengths of the pool. And I knew it was going to be a real, real challenge for me, but just the very fact I've got that movement in my arms, which means I could swim slowly in the water, I knew I was going to be able to do it if I trained enough for it. And I eventually managed to finish the swim in about 5.5 hours, and I was really excited at the end. Also in 2017, someone mentioned to me about a triathlon, the first of its kind for disabled people in the country. And this was held at Eton Dorney, which is the Olympic run going for the London Olympics in 2012. And I've always enjoyed watching triathlons on television, and I just thought I would love to actually give this a go myself. And so I entered the longest distance that they offered. It was a 750-metre lake swim, a 20-kilometre cycle, and I can't ride a normal bike because I can't wear my legs enough, so I ride a hand cycle, which you'll see on video in just a minute. And then after the cycle, it was a 5 kilometre run. And I'm not allowed to run anymore because I've had major ankle problems in the past, but I'm still allowed to walk. So I thought, if I can swim, if I can hand cycle, if I can walk, let's train for it, let's see if I can do it. And to cut a long story short, I've managed to complete this triathlon now 3 times, each time taking over 4 hours. To complete. It was cancelled last year and this year. I'm hoping to give it a little bit giving another go next. I drive a car which has been specially adapted. So, anyone here ever seen a car without a steering wheel before?
A couple.
So, I steer with handlebars, just like riding a bike. And then for the horn, the wipers, the indicators, the lights, I've got the head control, there's a button on my headrest. So, for example, if I want to indicate left, I hold the button down for 2 beeps, beep and off. If I want to indicate right, it's 3 beeps, beep and off. And this just gives me so much independence, so much freedom. So I actually regularly travel over the country speaking in churches, schools, prisons, wherever I get invited. And it just means I can get in the car myself and go. I don't need anyone else to actually take me. So I think before I carry on with my talk, I'm going to show a short video now just to basically demonstrate how I'm able to sort of take part in some of these activities. It just really showed the miracle that God has performed in my life. So, I've had the question asked in the past, if God is real, if God is a loving God, why hasn't He healed me of my disability? And actually, I prayed for healing as a child, but I also believe that God can use people through the difficulty of their situation, so that His works can be displayed and for His glory to shine through that person. And I'm going to be reading a number of scriptures that I think will be coming up on screen. But the first one is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. It says, 3 times I've pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, we all face difficulties or trials at some point in our lives. And in James 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I think that, no matter what we go through, no matter the sort of difficulties that we face, I always believe that God has a plan. And Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And there have been many times in my life when I've noticed God's plans being perfect, everything's falling into place, God's timing being perfect. And a couple I want to share with you now is that when I was 18 years old, so I'm a musician, which I'm going to be talking about in a while, but when I was 18 years old, I was coming to the end of sixth form. And I really wanted to go to a Christian music college because I wanted to sort of carry on with music. And there was a Christian music college called NGM, New Generation Ministries, which was about a 10 minutes drive from home at the time. And but I actually decided to leave it for a year, and the timing of that was actually amazing, because I actually applied when I was 19 years old. And they basically said I was a good enough musician, but they thought the course would suit me better if I went to another Christian music college called Nexus, which is based in Coventry. And I thought, wow, this will be quite a thing for me to do, because obviously you probably realise looking at me that with my physical disability that I need help with certain tasks. And I thought, how is it going to basically going to work for me, moving away from home for the first time. It's going to be quite a big challenge. But anyway, I really found it was the right thing for me to do. And so I had an interview at the college, and they accepted me straight away at the end of the interview. And so I thought, well, this is actually becoming reality now. I'm going to be moving away from home for the first time. But it was amazing how everything fell into place. Because there was someone from the church where I was going to be based who actually offered to sort of come and give me all the care that I needed, obviously needing some care. But shortly after I got accepted into the college, I found out that there was someone from my church who was going to be starting the college at the same time as me, and I didn't even know he was interested in going. Then at the church where I was based, there was someone there who I knew. We were on the same football team a couple of years beforehand, church football team. And then when I turned up at the house where I was going to be living, I was living with three people from the college. And one of my housemates, he was the brother of one of my youth leaders from back home. And I knew him a little bit as well. So there was one person in each place that I knew right from the very start, yet if I had applied a year earlier, that wouldn't have happened. But God's timing is perfect. A second example, much more recently, 2018, at the end of 2018, I had quite a surprising invite, which was to go and share my story out in India. And I thought, wow, this would be an amazing opportunity, but again, how is it going to work? Because I'm needing the care. Will I be able to arrange care in India before I go, so that it's all set up when I arrive? But I was talking with some friends from my church. I told them that I'd been invited out to India. And one of my friends is called Isaac, and he's actually from India. He's originally from India. And he'd been over here for probably 3 or 4 years at the time. And when I told him the name of the town where I'd be flying in, it was a town called Vijayawada, and I'd never heard of it before. And he told me he's got relatives who live not far from there, and he knows the area. And without me even asking him, he offered to come with me to give me all the help that I needed. And guess what he does for a living? He's a doctor. It could not have worked out any better. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the Indian trip in a couple of minutes. But 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And whenever we face difficulties in our lives, do we see our difficulties as a problem? Do we maybe see it as an obstacle, or do we see it as an opportunity? Now, a few years ago, I think it was back in 2014, I got invited to speak at Bristol Brunel Academy, which is a secondary school in Bristol. And at that time, I really wasn't used to talking in front of people at all. And I would get really nervous at the idea of actually going to speak in front of people. But I agreed to it, and I turned up expecting to go into a classroom. But when I arrived, I found out I was going to be speaking to the whole year 9, and then the whole year 8, and then the whole year 7, in 3 separate assemblies to a total of around 650 children. And I thought, oh, because I just really wasn't used to talking in front of people. But that day, I found it quite amazing, because I got to share my story. And at the end of each assembly, I had children queuing up to ask me questions and wanting to see me play the piano close up. But there's two things that really stood out to me that day. There was a boy in year 8, and he came up to me, and all he said quietly was, "Sir, I think you're amazing." And I didn't think anything of it until later that evening, because the teacher who invited me in messaged me to say she overheard him say that and couldn't believe it, because he was one of the worst behaved in the year and was on report. So she said my story obviously impacted him. And then the second thing that really stood out to me that day was there was a girl in year 7, and she said that when I played the piano at the end, she started to cry. And it was because her mum had some sort of disability, and I'm not sure what the disability was now, but she'd basically given up, tried to cope with it. And so she said she was going to go home and tell her mum about me and really try and sort of motivate her. And it suddenly occurred to me that day that when I was a child, I would pray for healing, but it occurred to me, what if God could use me through my disability, through the difficulty of my situation? And I didn't actually do anything really for quite a while after that, but in November 2015, so this was 18 months later, I got invited out of the blue to go and share my story at a church in Birmingham because I knew the pastor there. She just contacted me on Facebook, I think it was. And then, having seen that I was going there, an old school friend said, could I go to her school in London? So I said, yes, love to come. Again, feeling really nervous about it, because I wasn't used to talking in front of people at the time. And then after that, I really felt this was it. This is what I actually should be doing. So at the start of 2016, I set up my website, breakinglimits.co.uk, and I prayed to God that if this is what I should be doing, if this is the right thing, that he would open up opportunities for me to go and share my story. And I didn't do anything. I suppose it took a while to actually get going. I had something like 6 talks in the first 6 months. But it gradually accelerated until 2019, where I ended up having just under 150 talks in the year in churches and schools and prisons. And that includes 13 talks out in India. And one of the highlights of my Indian trip was I actually got invited to a school. So I was asked to take 2 assemblies. So, the first one was for about 1,500 children, and the second was for about 1,200 children. And for the assembly with 1,200 children, that was an older age group. And I was basically asked at the end to share my story. I was asked to open it up and ask if anyone wanted to invite Jesus into their hearts. So basically it was a Christian school, but they had children there from non-Christian backgrounds. And I was quite amazed at the response, because I could only clearly see the front of the 300 children because there was sunlight at the back. But just in that front section of 300 children, 20 responded, which was just incredible. So I really think now that God is actually using me through my story, through my disability. And I think if God had healed me, would I actually be any happier as a person? I don't think I would, because I'm actually getting to share my story, able to share my Christian faith with others, and having my disability, I think, actually gives me the opportunity to go into schools. If I didn't have a disability, I don't think I would get into schools in the same way that I would with my disability. So, I think no matter what we go through, I think we have so many reasons to praise God in our difficulties, and some I just want to share with you now, and these again will be coming up on screen. God is our healer. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5, says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And then Psalm 46, verse 1, says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And then God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Matthew 19, verse 26, says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then God is omniscient, as in he knows everything. Psalm 147, verse 5, says, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And then God is omnipresent, as in he is everywhere. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12,
heart.
It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. And then God is sovereign. Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10, says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And then God is great. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And then God is our Saviour through Jesus Christ. And I've already read the scripture, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And these are just some reasons that we have to praise God. And I really want to encourage you that whenever we face difficult situations in our own lives, not to focus on the difficulty, on the problem, but to actually put our trust in God, fix our eyes on Jesus, or fix our eyes on God, and remember through our difficulties that God is our healer. He's our refuge and strength. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. He is everywhere. He is sovereign. He is great. He is our Saviour through Jesus Christ. And I don't always find it easy to express myself with words, but I believe that God's given me a gift in music, and I love to express my worship to God through music. And going back to very briefly to when I was a baby, the second thing that the pastor prayed was that one day I would be physically able to play the organ like my dad. And Dad played the organ at church every week, and being able to play using both hands and all of his fingers. And you have to bear in mind that also when I was a baby, when the doctors gave the bleak outlook to my parents, Mum asked the doctor with just that little bit of hope, because Dad plays the piano and the organ, obviously the piano is similar to play with your hands, is there ever any chance of me playing? And the doctor basically said, look at my hands as they are, there's absolutely no chance whatsoever. There was even doubt that I'd have the strength to press down the key. But when I was 5 years old, we already had a piano at home, and watching Dad play the piano, because he's a good musician, it really inspired me, and I thought, well, I would love to be able to play what you're playing. And so I asked my parents if I could start having piano lessons. And although they were told there'd be absolutely no chance whatsoever, they thought, let's give it a go. It might be, it's something that I want to do. It might be a challenge that I can set myself. And so they set up these piano lessons for me. So I wonder at this point, so I can give a demonstration, if it's all right just to lower the keyboard for me. That would be great. Thank you. So my parents have arranged me to have piano lessons, and in my first,
your
yes, pastor.
So in my first piano lesson, it was a matter of did I have the string press down a key, and I did with my right hand, and I did with my left hand. So just to break back, but I had the strength in both hands to press down the key meant that I was going to be able to play the piano. And right from a young age, I really wanted to try and get to a standard where I could play in church without my playing being a distraction. And so once I was able to hit the note down with both hands, it was then really slow progress as to how I'd be able to sort of really, I suppose, go bored with my playing. But then could I actually play an opening can at the same time? And I could. And then could I start playing some rhythm? And then very basic, something like this.
Yeah.